And the title we have for this teaching is The Funeral of Your Independence. The Funeral of Your Independence. It's interesting, we've all probably been to a funeral, and they're not the best of occasions. It's saying farewell and goodbye to someone or our loved ones, people who are very dear to us. But one of the things that we know with a funeral, it's not going to repeat itself. It's a one-off for each person, unlike weddings of today, sadly. There are people who marry 2-3 times, even more, and they have another wedding on top of it. But you don't have that with funerals. It's quite different. And so we're calling this teaching The Funeral of Your Independence. And I want to take this today from the book of Galatians, because in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul speaks a lot about being crucified with Christ. He speaks about the cross, because as we know, he founded this church and other churches in Galatia. And here he's writing this second epistle, and he's dealing with many Jews that were in the area, and there were those coming in, perverting the gospel, trying to say that works is important with grace if you wish to be saved. And so he stresses the need for faith, being justified by faith and not by works. But he goes a step further with this church at Galatia, because he reveals how the cross of Christ enables the life of God to manifest in and through us. He's really dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I have explained to you over the years that the fruit of the Spirit is not found in you, it is found in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit belongs to Him. It is His life, His character, all that He is and was in you being manifested through you. Obviously, He is love. He is also long-suffering. He is gentle, meek, and so on, all of which is found in the fruit of the Spirit, and we are to walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, it means that we are drawing from the fruit, and the fruit is found through the Holy Spirit, who ministers that fruit to us in various trials and testings, various things that we go through daily with our lives. For every trial and temptation, there is a fruit you can draw from. But you can only draw from it when you are willing to allow your independence, that independent spirit, to be crucified with Christ. If you are independent of the cross, you walk independently of God, there is no fruit to be found, for you are in the flesh, and you will never satisfy God in the flesh. You will only satisfy Him via the cross, where the fruit of the Spirit is to be found, when we are willing to give up that independent life that will always walk contrary to the will of God. And here in the context, from verse 16 onwards, he speaks about walking in the Spirit. But I want to take it up in verse 24, of which it says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So he says quite clearly, for this fruit to be found, this joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that is not bound by the law, but by the grace and mercy of God, he says that we crucify the flesh. Now, we've given much teaching over the years with the deeper life with regard to the cross. Each believer that wants to go deeper with God, you are going to find that God is going to take you to your Gethsemane. If you've not been and you continue with this and this word, you are going to find that God will take you to that place. The same as the Spirit led our Saviour to that place in which to win the victory of the cross. We all say it was won when he went to the cross. It was actually won when he was sweating drops of blood. He was settling the cross. He was settling death in his flesh. He was doing that in the Garden of Gethsemane. All he had to do after that was won and settled was to just allow the Romans to capture him and to crucify him. The rest was done by man. But at that point of surrender, he had settled it. There are many, we've had them in this church, who do not settle this fundamental question. They avoid it. They fudge it. They'll deal with it later or whatever it is. This is why we're calling this teaching today the funeral of your independence. You have to have your own white funeral. And you have to settle it. That I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The apostle settled his walk of the way of the cross. He saw that it is only in the cross, the death of Christ, can the victory be won over flesh that will always want its own way. And we cannot in any way compromise with regard to our flesh. Even though you may be battling, even though it may seem as though you're losing the battle, never compromise, never settle on anything secondary to the fact that my flesh has to be and is crucified with Christ. You have to settle it. And then the grace and mercy of God will begin to work that within your life, and it will be seen by the fruit of the Spirit that is seen in our lives. As I said at the beginning, the fruit is found in Christ. It's not your fruit. It is found in you by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, those nine fruits there, are for every trial and test and for your walk each day with God. They're there. The point is, you can't draw from them if the cross is not working. You will always, instead of act by faith, you will react. And you will do it in the flesh. And the only way you start to see change is when you are willing to surrender and allow crucifixion to deal with that independence that wants to walk independently of God. And sadly, many, many Christians do it because a subject like this is seldom ever taught. Trust me, you won't find many teachings, sermons, on this which we deal with here in FGA. Most avoid it. Do you know why? Because you empty your churches. You just have a few who will remain. And you don't get the offerings. You see how subtle it all works. It's simply called compromise. But what you do get with those that remain, because Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, you will find that they will be converted into disciples of Christ. And that is the difference. Because the disciple begins to grow and mature in the faith. You see, your walk in the Spirit can only be achieved over the flesh by your cross. Not Jesus's cross, because everyone is preaching about Jesus's cross. And yes, there is nothing wrong in that. Without Jesus's cross, we would not be having a meeting here tonight. But very few ever go on further about your cross that you are to take up daily. And what is a cross for? It's to die upon. This is why when we look at the cross of Christ, we identify with his death. That is what it's identifying. This is why so often the cross is glamorized. But what it means to a Christian, to a disciple who walks with God, that is death to me. I die daily with the life of Christ. That is what it means. And in death, blood was shed. So we see death and we see the shedding of blood. And the blood atones, covers my sin, my rebellion, my unbelief, that independent spirit. You see? All of that then is ministered by the grace and mercy and love of God. You know in your heart and your standing that forgiveness. A lot of Christians do not know or experience that standing that they have with God. And the reason that they don't know it is because they do not see their cross. That they are identified with the cross of Jesus Christ, his death. Of course, we don't get this immediately when we're saved. Of course we don't. And this is why teaching is so essential. Because teaching causes us to grow and mature in the faith. And this is why I said at the beginning that many avoid subjects like this. Because they know they will get a lot of flack when you teach this sort of thing. And you do. But you see, God calls us to remain faithful to the word. And the Apostle Paul, particularly when he's writing to the church at Corinth, the second epistle that he's writing, he's there defending his ministry. Because his ministry was much under attack. It was controversial. The Apostle Paul had many enemies, those in the house of God who opposed him, who appeared to be godly and righteous. But when he preached, the cross, when he preached faith and everything, it exposed what was in them. And of course, they tittle-tattle. They tell one another, and that's, of course, the damage that is done. Nothing new still goes on today in the house of God. But you see, he always went back to the cross. He never justified himself. He labored and worked with the saints until Christ was perfected, manifested in them. That was his goal, his aim. as he was experiencing the life of Christ in him, so he likewise labored with a remnant in these churches who remained and stayed faithful. He labored with them until they got it. It dropped from the head to the heart. You see? And that is what a ministry will do. That's what an apostolic ministry will do. And we've got people today call themselves apostles and so forth. They haven't a clue about laboring in the vineyard, laboring with saints, with churches, until maturity starts to come and develop. You won't hear that from many of them. Yet these are some of the tests that you put out when somebody is calling themselves an apostle. We have one online. He calls himself an apostle. He's anything but. He's very confused. And of course, it's simply pride, arrogance, blindness. They're religious spirits that do that sort of thing. You see, when you bear the cross, when you are willing to surrender that independence, you are going to find that God is going to deal with pride with you. And you will see it for what it is. So we have to be willing to abandon. And it's a dying daily. You see, the natural life as a Christian when you're first saved, redeemed, isn't sinful, but we've got to abandon because of what it leads to. If you continue in the flesh, when you're confessing Christ as your Saviour, if you continue in the flesh, you will die. For flesh will lead to death. This is why you are transformed over. Once you make a confession, you go through the waters of baptism, you then are presented with a deeper life to walk with God. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, enables you to start walking so that you can be identified with the cross that you too take up. This is why the apostles showed that they start with milk, but you have need of the meat of the word. Sometimes you can't give the meat of the word. They have to be fed with the milk. I know that with some of the preaching and teaching that I do. They're not ready for the deeper, for the meat. I can't present the cross yet. They're not at that stage. They're still babes. But we're not that in FGA. Far from it. You see, it's not about sin, but giving up my right to myself. That independence that separates me from God. Where I like myself, my self-will. I want my way. That has to be surrendered. Crucified. You see, all those things of the flesh, of religious works that look right and noble and good, that's what religious people, church people strive for. It's right, it's good, it's noble. But that is a natural standpoint. They're the very things that keep us from God and from the best that he has for us, because they're always based on religious works. And this, of course, was exactly what they were trying to bring in with the Galatian church. And the apostle, he deals with this with the cross, that independent self that wants to worship God my way. I will work for God my way. I will do what I think is right for God my way. And he says all of that has to die. Nailed to the cross. For the life of the Spirit to work his work in and through us. The Apostle Paul, he knew about that. How do you think he labored and endured all of these things, these sufferings and shipwreck, imprisonments, beatings and so on? No one in their right mind would go through that. He went through that because he was yielded. The only thing he said he ever boasted in was the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, look at the things that we boast in. We boast in our achievements. We boast in our education. We boast in our family, our kids, you name it, all those things. We hear it, we do it. Oh, they may be right and noble. It may be accepted in the world, but God says that is the very thing that we surrender, we die to, so that his life manifests through us. Because God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We each day are battling with the ways of God. His thoughts, his will. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer. That is what we battle. And he says the only way that his will would be achieved is you die daily. You identify with his death. Then you begin to see the will of God starting to manifest and reveal himself. And there is the peace that is found and the rest. So many professing Christians are not at peace. They don't have that rest. There's turmoil. Their minds are all over the place. That's why God is calling first fruits overcomers now in these last days. And as I so constantly say, the key to this walk is letting go. Letting go of all of those things. They don't matter. All that matters is my life walking in fellowship and obedience with Christ this day. And all the rest will look after itself. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That is the divine principle. And only the cross will let you experience that, you see. But you see, most will ignore over these issues what is right, wrong, evil, or whatever it is. We're so good, aren't we, at looking in the world what's right and what's wrong, what is evil and filthy and everything. And gosh, there's much that's going on in the world. It's terrible. But we never look to what is moral and good and excellent before God. We're not so hot on that. What God thinks. Have you ever asked God, before you pray over a situation, Lord, what do you think about this? What are you saying? So that I can pray effectively by the Spirit. God will show you if you want to know. We too often get our own imaginations and ideas of these things. The world has its ideas of what is right and wrong. But God's standard is way above it. That's the whole point. So what do we see that God is lifting us out of this world? He's lifting us out of the control, the opinion of this world, the lies, the deception of this world. And only the cross can do that, because the cross after death brought resurrection for Christ. And that is the hope of glory within us. We should all have that hope of resurrection, that I will be raised up from this earthly body. I will put it off and put on immortality. That hope should be in every one of us, but it will only ever come when you are identified with the death of Christ. There is no resurrection otherwise. That is the whole point, because hell, the lake of fire, was never made for man. It was for Satan and the fallen angels. This is why, as we bring this to a conclusion, what Jesus said to the followers, I know we read it quite a lot, but in the context of what we've been looking at, now you can begin to understand why he turned to the people in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. He had many following him up to this point. I'm not sure they were ready. This wasn't what they were hoping to hear when he turned and addressed them. But listen, then Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." It's not self-denial, it's the denial of self. And that's quite different. I will just briefly go over this again. I've mentioned this many times. Self-denial is giving up something in the flesh. There are a lot of religious people you hear when Lent is coming, they give up some certain foods, or they just have one meal a day or whatever it is. That's what self-denial is. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about deny myself. It's the surrender of self, the denial of self. It's deliberately choosing the way of the cross, not putting myself first, but the kingdom first. That's what he's meaning here. He says, "And take his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So here we are. The cross enables us that we lose our life, that we are found with our new life that is in Jesus Christ, which we find. "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will the man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with the angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." He's addressing believers here. He's addressing those that want to follow him. Some have made a commitment, people that are calling themselves Christians. But the Spirit of God will turn round and he will challenge that with the sword of the Spirit. This is why I say there are many, many who call themselves Christians, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's those who are willing to lose their life in this world, to give it up. That independence, and this is why we're calling this teaching the funeral of your independence. Not my will, but thy will be done. And this is why you will find few who will preach this, because many who are behind pulpits teaching, they don't know what the will of God is. And so it's reduced to religious good works. And this is why many of them build their empires always asking for money because they want to send missionaries out and so on. Instead of the Holy Spirit providing, anointing and sending them out. Or the unction of the Spirit by the anointing speaking through the preacher and teacher. Because the church should receive revelation when they come together and hear the word. Praise God that we have been blessed with that FGA for many, many years. The revelation that comes from above. You see, the natural life isn't spiritual. And it can only be made spiritual by the maturing through sacrifice. That's how it's achieved. If you want to walk by the Spirit, Romans 8, it is a sacrifice. And what is this sacrifice? I have surrendered that independent spirit that goes contrary to the will of God. That is what I've surrendered. And then the Spirit will begin to move you into Romans 8, the walk of the Spirit, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For we are worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth, the Word of God tells us. Don't ever try and make your flesh spiritual. You can't. And this is what the Apostle Paul was addressing in Galatians. This is what they were trying to do because they were losing the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. They were losing the revelation of God speaking to them. Some will hear that this is God speaking, using a vessel. This is what he's saying by the Spirit. And others will not see it like that. They just see it as a mental exercise in the Word of God. Each church in Revelation ends with, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God is speaking to those seven churches by revelation, by the anointing. His method hasn't changed. And that's why the devil attacked the early church. And eventually by 150 years later, they no longer were experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Moving further and further away in the flesh, in apostasy. How subtle the enemy is. This is why he attacks in this area. He doesn't want us empowered. Because the empowerment of the Spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's him. And so we find then, if we yield to the Spirit, then we find in that sacrifice, Romans 12, as I say, verses 1, 2, which we know very well, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. You present yourself on that altar, the fire falls. What does he begin to do? The fire separates you from the world. And he starts to separate it in the heart, as well as physically. And this separation will always come out by a surrendering, by letting go. Because God doesn't want our hearts, our affections attached to anything in this world. Him first, and then through his love, through his Spirit, we can embrace with a right heart and attitude those things that are in the world because we're not controlled by them. I wrote an article about a year ago or so about smartphones, how everyone, particularly young people, are absolutely controlled and obsessed and held by their phones. They're in them all the time. And I started off in my address. I said, does your phone own you or do you own it? That is the question. There was a lot of response to that. And that is exactly what I'm trying to say here. Does the world own you or do you own it? You have overcome the world. You have your authority, your stand in Christ. So that when God leads and guides through us, I don't compromise to it. We're all still a work in progress. I know God's still working with me with that one. And I know when I do compromise or I've sided in, that peace is just not there. I have to get it right with God and I have to go right back to the cross. I am crucified with Christ. I have identified with his death. Sometimes I have to make that confession. I want to hear myself say it. And then the Holy Spirit, he will begin to work that. That's why I say, as I close with this, you, if you're not already, and you stay with this, you will hear yourself before you even get out of your bed, I take up my cross this day and I identify with Jesus' death. It's not I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. That will be your prayer. That will be your confession, because confession brings possession. As we know, Romans 10:10. That is our confession. We confess with our lips the word of God, agreeing with the word of God. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what your week's been. Doesn't matter whether you've missed the mark or whatever it is. You confess your confession with God's will and revelation that you read. And it will start to happen. The power of the Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the very power that lives in you and me. And it comes as we surrender that independence and we allow the Lord to do it. That is where your stand is. That is where your peace is. That is where blessing is. That is where everything is found. True unity, oneness, love with God and each other. That is where it's found, in the center and heart of the bosom of Jesus Christ. And where is it found? Identifying with his death. Well, brothers and sisters, every blessing to you all. I trust that this word has helped. Yes, it's very challenging, and I don't apologize for that, because it is, I believe, God's word, and the Lord loves us, and that's why he gives the meat of the word to us. We are very, very blessed in FGA to be able to receive such teaching on a level, because very few are, and that is the tragedy. But I have the privilege to be able to share this online, that this will go out to the four corners of the earth. And there is a remnant that here, a remnant are responding. Not a huge amount, but some are responding to the word. Because God has a way in which he brings it back. And you hear, or they make contact, or whatever it is. So we rejoice that God has got a remnant around the world who want to grow, who want to mature, want to become sons and daughters of God, because that's what we're destined for, brothers and sisters. We're destined for the throne. Read Revelation 5, 4 and 5. There we are, up there. Around the throne of Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. so that we identify with him, we are like him. But it can only be done by the power of the Spirit of God.